Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I go for I-K-E, I-K-I-K-I-K-E. I know that I-K-E is okay with me.
In an hour of presidential comparisons, compares and contrasts to the predicament of Barack Obama, we turn to Dwight David Eisenhower, the 34th president of the United States. Two terms, he enlarged Social Security, signed the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1956, is really the president responsible for the interstate highway system, declared racial discrimination a national security issue, and warned of the military-industrial complex on his way out of office. Widely considered a great president and a great Republican, everyone likes Ike. Our next two guests have a new book about Dwight David Eisenhower. David Eisenhower joins us. He's the co-author of Going Home to Glory, also the author of Eisenhower at War, 1943 to 1945, grandson of Dwight D. Eisenhower, on the phone from Pennsylvania. David Eisenhower, welcome back to the program.
Well, John, good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And Julie Nixon Eisenhower, co-author of Going Home to Glory, wrote Special People and Pat Nixon, The Untold Story. She is the younger daughter of President Richard Nixon and Pat Nixon. And the two of you are kind of partners in crime there as historians and man and wife, correct?
Very good. We are partners, John, and we have always worked carefully and closely on our book projects, and this time I think even more so, and we felt that it was definitely appropriate at this point just to acknowledge that we work very hand-in-hand on all projects that we do.
Well, this book, John, go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say, it was a very fun book to be involved in, and I appreciate the fact Dave was you know, willing to say on the cover with Julie Nixon Eisenhower, but it certainly is his story of being a 12-year-old growing up in the 60s. As he grows up, his grandfather grows old, and then, of course, in 1969 dies. But it's set against this turbulent decade and things that many readers probably don't know, how Johnson turned to Eisenhower constantly for advice on Vietnam, you know, how Eisenhower interacted with Kennedy, how Ike was on the golf course. These are the important things.
You know, we sort of tongue-in-cheek began this hour talking about imagining a place in the basement of the White House where presidents can actually call up all the former presidents and get advice. But this story is an amazing and very poignant picture of how a former president becomes an advisor to current presidents. Yeah. How did that play out as you observed it as a grandson, David Eisenhower?
Well, you know, I was aware of it, of course. I was aware that that my granddad had been to the White House, or that the president had called and so forth. This was a role that he assumed after 1945, and he was a very actually very close advisor to Harry Truman, both as a chief of staff and then later ex officio, and then he goes off to NATO. It's just something that, interestingly, in 1961, resumed. He was not called upon nearly as much in the Kennedy years. Kennedy is making his own way, though they met often, and I think established a cordial relationship. It could not be friendly because Kennedy had run against the Eisenhower record in 1960. Then, starting with Lyndon Johnson, it's back to the Harry Truman era. Johnson solicits Eisenhower's advice, and eventually seeks his emotional support as well as advice later. No doubt about it.
That's so interesting. You know, we want to remind people that Jenny Weber is still with us, historian from the University of Kansas, who made our original comparison with the Lincoln years. We're going to ask her some questions in a moment. But Julie Nixon Eisenhower, can I just pose the question directly to you? What do you think Richard Nixon's advice would be to Barack Obama if he could call up your dad and ask, what should I do now?
Well, I always avoid answering questions like that because, you know, my father's been gone for 17 years now. But looking at my father's career, and just speculating as anyone else might speculate.
Sure, sure.
I think that my father was an out-of-the-box thinker, and he had to be because he was elected in 1968 at one of the most perilous moments in U.S. history, with 550,000 young men fighting in Vietnam, with a war that had no end and no exit, and with racial riots, everything going on. So he had to think out of the box. I think Obama came into this, to the presidency, at a very difficult time, perilous, really. The financial situation, I don't think we even know the ramifications of how serious it was. So I think the advice would be, think outside the box. Mm. You know, you've got to solve these problems, and you have to go beyond just the, you know, the regular moves.
No, and there was radical thinking. I mean, Nixon imposed price controls back then, something we can barely imagine now. David Eisenhower, right. If Barack Obama called up your granddad and asked him for advice, what do you think he would give as advice to Barack Obama?
Very good. Well, see, this is even longer ago, but I concur with Julie that out-of-the-box thinking, but above all, I think mission. You stay focused on mission. One thing that I remember was in the 80 transition. Mr. Nixon circulated a memorandum that he had written for Ronald Reagan to a handful of people who were pretty close to him. And he says, he acknowledged that Reagan's campaign had set a ambitious foreign policy agenda. But he said at that juncture, people forget how serious the inflation and recession was at that point. He says, as a practical matter, the economy must be addressed until anything can be accomplished
right,
on the foreign
right.
Foreign field, and he went on for paragraphs about that. It's very specific advice. And I sometimes the Nixon year in January '69, there was no question that the Vietnam War would absorb every energy Richard Nixon had. In 1953, you had similarly, you had a war, and I would say that the Obama presidency is facing principally a domestic problem here, the
right.
economy.
Well, great, great comparisons. This book, Going Home to Glory, is also the story of what the presidency, this huge job, does to a person physically, mentally, emotionally. It takes such a huge toll. It's almost too big of a job for any individual. David Eisenhower, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us, John.
David Eisenhower and Julie Nixon Eisenhower are co-authors of the book Going Home to Glory, a chronicle of life with Dwight David Eisenhower between 1961 to 1969. Jenny Weber, you want to take us out? What are your final thoughts here? Those were some great comparisons, don't you think?
I think those are terrific, and I think that the advice that both of those presidents would theoretically offer here is really good. I think that that Lincoln would agree with the idea of sticking with understanding what the main issues are and not giving up on those, but otherwise being flexible and pragmatic and in an effort to get to achieve the big goals. In Lincoln's case, this was winning the war and maintaining reuniting the country
right.
and maintaining emancipation.
Well, thanks for being with us, all hour. Jenny Weber,
great.
Author of Copperheads, The Rise and Fall of Lincoln's Opponents in the North.